الحمد لله رب العالمين
والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madri channel, whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, the first thing that you must realize, it is a blessing. You are lucky. You are the fortunate ones. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you this opportunity to come to this house. You should consider yourself very, very lucky. But at the same time, in entering the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you try and enter according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would always enter the masjid by his right foot, and then he would recite the dua for entering the masjid. What I made you recite was, I made you recite the intention for nafl itikaf. By making this intention for the duration that you're in the masjid, it'll be written in your book of deeds that you spent this time in nafl itikaf. May I remind you, to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make all of these intentions, if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable for you as well. So small amount of effort, a huge amount of reward. A lot of people think that you can only perform itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. That is the sunnah itikaf. Nafl itikaf can be for one moment. You know, I leave my PC tablet here, I go outside, I come in, I make the intention for itikaf, I come here, pick it up, take it out, and it will be written in my book of deeds that I spent that time, be it 30 seconds, 42 seconds, whatever it is, that I spent this time in nafl itikaf. So a small amount of effort, but inshallah azza wa jal, a huge amount of reward. There are many blessings in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. And the final messenger of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam reported to have said that Allah Azza wa Jal writes freedom from hypocrisy and freedom from fire of hell between the eyes of the person who recites Salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam 100 times. And Allah will also keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. He'll be raised with the martyrs on the day of judgment just by reciting Durood e Pak every day 100 times. It doesn't take a lot of time. Couple of minutes, you know, if you haven't already recited it, I don't know where you all live, but by the time you get home and you leave here, by the time you start reciting Durood e Pak, by the time you go home, inshallah, you've recited more than that as well. So please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amiri al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, Alama Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us.
Ameen.
He wrote in a book, he's got a booklet called Kafan Choron Ki Inkisafat, Disclosures from a Shroud Thief. And on page 20 of that book, he writes that a man's sister had died, and after burying her, he recalled that he had left a pouch of money and he dropped it in the grave. He had some money in his pocket, and when he buried his sister and when he came back, that pouch had gone. So he thought to himself that that pouch must have fallen into the grave. And it was quite a valuable thing. So he returned to the grave and he began digging. And when he dug his sister's grave open, he found it to be filled with flames of fire. He hurriedly filled the grave back up and rushed to his mother in tears. He went to home. He was obviously upset. And he said to his mother, "Dear mother, what were the deeds of my sister? What did my sister used to do?" He didn't say to his mother what he'd seen, but he was concerned. Something, she must have done something. She must have lived a life in a certain way that caused this to happen. And she said, "Son, why are you asking?" And he replied to his mother that, "I have seen flames of fire blazing in her grave." Upon hearing this, the mother began to cry. And she said that your sister was lazy in offering salah and would offer it after the stipulated time. Lazy in offering the salah and after the stipulated time, i.e. reading qadha. This is the punishment for someone that is lazy in their salah. This is the punishment for someone that would make up the missed salahs. They were on purpose, they'd miss the salah on time. Oh, I'm busy, I'm at work, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. What I'll do is I'll read my namaz later on. This is the punishment for someone who is lazy in the salah. What is the punishment going to be for us who completely miss our salah? And we have no concern for our salah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and when they stand up for salah, they do it unwillingly. That there are people that when they do the salah, they do it because they're forced to do it. They do it because other people are looking at them. And if I don't read my salah, what will people think about me? Is this what we have become? that our namaz is just an exercise, it's just a routine that we have to do. Sometimes we're at home and we read our salah with our vest on, but when we're in the masjid, we've got all our jubbas on, the imam ashrif on. When we're reading at home, we're like pecking a bird and reading our namaz so fast because nobody's watching all of a sudden. And when we're in the masjid, we're taking a lot of time and ease over reading our namaz. Again, the question is, who are you reading namaz for? If when you're at home, your namaz is not the same as when you're in front of people, what is your namaz for then? And this is the punishment for those people that are lazy in the salah. What about us that miss our salah? And again, we're missing it because of laziness. And again, we fall into this trap. We fall into this trap that when we say to someone that, brother, why don't you read your salah? And they say, oh, you know, well, you know, I don't, but you know what, I'll start from Friday. Or, well, you know what, I don't, but what I'll do is I'll start from Ramadan. Number one, you know, you're openly admitting I'm a sinner, and I'm going to continue to sin. I'm going to continue to commit these sins until next Friday. I'm a sinner, I will continue to commit these sins until Ramadan. You're openly telling people that I'm going to carry on committing this sin. And then the other thing is, who can guarantee me that they will see Friday? Who can guarantee me that they will see the month of Ramadan? My dear Islam brothers and viewers of the channel, in this building that we're here today, in Fazana Medina Rushdale, we have a madrasa here. A madrasa to Medina here. And we take children from the age of four. They start here in the madrasa, and in this madrasa, they learn how to read the Quran with correct pronunciation. I think if I was to go into a madrasa class of four-year-olds and five-year-olds, and if I was to ask these children, what is the fiqh of inheritance? They won't know it. If I was to ask them how to perform Hajj, they won't know it. If I was to ask them the Sharia rulings of fasting, they won't know it. But if I was to ask a five-year-old, is namaz farb? They will tell you yes. Even a four-year-old, five-year-old will know that namaz is farb upon them. So why are we not reading it? We can't say we don't, well, I didn't know. You know, people when they eat something, and you tell them afterwards, you know this is haram, oh, I'm sorry brother, I didn't know. I won't do it in the future. Sorry brother, I won't, yeah, good, jazakallah for telling me. But when it comes to namaz, we all know, who doesn't know? If there is anybody in this room that doesn't know namaz is farz upon us, then meet me afterwards, inshallah, and I'll explain it to you. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that namaz is farz upon us. So the question is why? Why are we not reading our namaz? And maybe the problem is us. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed us. Like I said at the beginning, you are blessed. You are the blessed ones that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the ability to come here. You are the lucky ones. Missing salah views on the channel is a sin. If you miss it on purpose, it is a sin. It is a haram and it is an action that can take you to the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Maryam verse 59, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman. So after them in their place came those unworthy successors who missed their salah and pursued their lust. So they will soon encounter the jungle of Ghair in the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's made a valley in the hellfire called Ghair. And Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullah says that this well is the hottest and deepest valley in the hellfire. And when there is a well called Habab, and when the fire of hell gets close to extinguishing, Allah Azza wa Jal opens up this well, which makes the fire of hell blaze just like before. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and whenever it will be about to extinguish, will it intensify the flame. This well is for those people who miss the salah. This well is for those people who are fornicators. This well is for those people who commit adultery. And this is those people who take interest. And this is for those people who hurt their parents. How many times, you know, maybe you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is a topic, I've heard so much about this. They keep on talking about namaz. I've heard this so many times. How many times have we been told that we should read our namaz? How many times have we been told about the punishment that we will get on the day of judgment? How many times have we been told about the punishment in the hellfire from missing our namaz? But then the question is, why do we continue to miss our salah? You know, some of us came here on the motorway. And on the motorway, they have these cameras. They have it on local roads as well. And these cameras, they check your speed. And if you're speeding, what will happen is automatically it'll take a picture and a fine will go to your home. So what happens is when you see a camera, you slow down. You know, you won't just keep on speeding, you'll slow down automatically. Because you're afraid of getting that fine. If I was to put a chip in your phone or a chip in your hand, and every time you missed your salah, you get a £5 fine coming to your home. Now tell me, how many people will miss the salah? Nobody. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says your name will be written on the door of hellfire, we're not bothered. Allah azza wa jalla says in the Quran that there's a valley in there that the heat is so strong and you will be in there for thousands of years, we're not bothered. But when it comes to 5 pounds, all of a sudden we're not going to miss our salah. Is that what we become? That for the sake of 5 pounds you will not miss your salah, but when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us all these things, we're not bothered. We need to think about this. We need to realize the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those, the one who will be afflicted with the lightest punishment of hellfire will be made to wear shoes of fire. Due to this, his brain will boil the way a copper pot boils. He will be put under the impression that he's subjected to the severest of punishments. This person, he will have the lightest punishment, but he will think it will be the severest punishments. That's how bad it is. As somebody once wrote, he said, imagine at the moment in this dunya, there are 7 billion people. In this world at the moment, there are 7 billion people. And everybody has different pains. People that are sitting here today, you might have a headache, you might have a pain in your foot, you might have a little bit of a fever, you might have a bit of cold. People that are watching go home, we all have some sort of illness. Imagine all of them illnesses, all of them pains that everybody is facing in the whole world, put inside you. All of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the difficulties that everybody in the world is facing right now is inside you. That is less than the slightest punishment in the hellfire. That has no comparison to the lightest punishment in the hellfire. So we should be fearful. We should think twice about this. 5 days salah is obligatory upon us. Every sane baligh, as I said, it is farz upon us. So why are we not reading it? Again, maybe Allah has not blessed us. And maybe we don't realize it's a blessing. I'll give you another example just to make you think. If everybody in your street was to receive £1,000 check every week and you weren't, everybody in your street got it. They all got £1,000 check every week and you didn't get it. You think, why? What have I done wrong? Why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting this £1,000 check? Everybody's getting it. He's getting it. He's getting it. He's getting it. My neighbor, everybody's getting it. I'm not getting it. And then you'd ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? I must be doing something wrong that Allah Azza wa Jalla, that I'm not getting this check. But do we not ask ourselves, what am I doing wrong? Is something that I am doing wrong that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not blessing me with the ability to read my salah? We were just on a Madri Kafla in a Muslim country. And the time for salah came and we came to the masjid. And opposite the masjid, there was a huge cafe. And they were all sitting outside, drinking tea and coffee. They were literally from here to where the camera is, that's how far away from the masjid they were. But Allah Azza wa Jalla did not bless them people with the ability to go into the house of Allah. Here we see it in the UK, we see it many, many times, that the father comes up to pick up the children at the madrasa. It's time for Salatul Asr. And what does he do? He doesn't get out of the car and come into the masjid to read the Salatul Asr. He's in the car park. He's no more than 20 yards away. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed him with the opportunity to come into the house of Allah. I was in one masjid again in a Muslim country during the month of Ramadan. And I was blessed with an opportunity to do a speech there during the month of Ramadan, Asr to Maghrib, Aftar Ishtama. And as Maghrib came, coming closer, the masjid started to fill. And I was so happy. MashaAllah, the masjid is full. SubhanAllah, the masjid is full. But what I later realized was that masjid, it was in a rich area. And so the food for Aftari, it was, the chicken and the meat and the smosa and the pakori and all the food was there. So many people came into the masjid. They opened the Aftari, they opened the roza, but when the time came for the Iqamat, for the people to stand up, there was only one saf. They'd all come in just to eat and then leave. Allahu Akbar. How unfortunate are them people that they've actually got inside the masjid. But Allah Azza wa Jalla not blessed us with the opportunity to read our salah. So if you are missing your salah, you need to ask yourself why. What am I doing wrong? It's something that I am doing wrong. And this should be a question that we have always in our life, that whenever something happens to us, without a doubt, it's something that has happened that I'm doing wrong. There was somebody, he was traveling back from Hajj. And he was traveling on foot. He was traveling on foot on the way back from Hajj. When he was getting a bus, he was getting a train, he was getting a lift. And he was in Europe. And when he was in Europe on the road, he was thumbing a lift. You see people thumbing a lift? He was thumbing a lift. And he was there for about half an hour and it started to rain. And still nobody stopped. Still nobody stopped, and he carried on thumbing the lift, and nobody stopped for him. And it's raining and pouring down. Eventually, he got off the road, came down the embankment, went to a stream, performed wuzu, read two rakat nafal, read his hand and said, Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? I've done something wrong, Ya Allah, please forgive me. He realized that he was not getting the help of Allah because he had done something wrong. He raised his hands, did tawbah, repented, requested in the court of Allah, and he said, I went back up to the road and within 2 minutes somebody stopped and picked me up. So if you are not coming to the masjid, if you are not reading the namaz, it's something wrong with you. And we need to identify this. We need to realize, what are we doing wrong? Why am I not getting the blessings? Why am I not getting that check through the door? Why is Allah not giving me this ability? Why are all these people here getting the ability to read my salah and not me? Why are these people going to the masjid and reading the namaz 5 times a day and not me? What am I doing wrong? Because if you were paid to come here, you know, I'll give you the example of the £5 fine. But if I said to you, look, for every time you come to the salah, I'll give you £5, you'll find a way to get here. You'd all come here then. For every namaz you come, I'll give you £5, you'd all come here. So the question is why? And that is something that we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves and realize that something is going wrong in our lives, that we're not having the ability to read our salah. And we see in every masjid, this masjid included, that when it comes to Salatul Jama, it's full. When it comes to the day of Eid, it's full. There's no space in the masjid. But what about the rest of the year? Do we explore all the Muslims in Rochdale? But on the day of Eid, we have a full masjid, and as soon as the Eid and Namaz finishes, we export them. We send them all abroad. All the Muslims disappear. And they stay out of the country for 6 months until the next Eid. And when the next Eid, we import them back again, and then we see each other. Is that what we become? No. The Muslims are here. The Muslims are in this town. And we need to realize that it's further upon us to read our namaz. There's no ifs, there's no buts, there's no questions. But it is us that we are lazy in our salah. We make excuses for our salah. Oh, it's going to take too long. Yeah, I haven't got that time. I remember I was sitting with a solicitor, and the solicitor, he said to me that when I get a phone, you know, you get on your phone, you can see who's ringing you. You know, you see, oh, it's early, you think, I'm not going to answer this phone because it's going to be half an hour. Or you see somebody, you think, oh, this will be a quick one, and you'll answer the phone. He said, I know who, when somebody rings me, I know who they are. And I know how long they're going to be. So sometimes when somebody rings me, and it's only a 5-minute call, I'll quickly take it. And he said, sometimes what happens is that 5-minute call turns into a 45-minute call. He said, but I'm not bothered, it's my job. It's my job. He said, but when it comes to salah, all of a sudden I start thinking to myself, it's going to take me 10 minutes, I haven't got 10 minutes. It's going to take me 15 minutes, I ain't got 15 minutes. It's going to take me half an hour, I ain't got half an hour. I've not got wuzu, I'm going to waste all this time. These are all the whispers of your shaitan that are convincing you, that are enticing you to miss your salah. And you need to realize that we need to make, and we've said it many, many times before, that we need to make Islam our priority rather than Islam our hobby. Islam has become our hobby. And a hobby is something you do when you've got spare time. I like working on cars. I've got a car that I need to renovate and work on, repair on. I bought it 3 or 4 years ago. In the last 3 or 4 years, I've probably not even spent 3 or 4 hours on it. I haven't got time, but it's my hobby. And inshallah, one day I'll start working on that car. But unfortunately, for the majority of us, Islam has become our hobby. If we get time, we'll go to the masjid. If we get time, we'll read the Quran. If we get time, we'll do it. And if we don't, then it doesn't matter. Islam should not be our hobby. Islam should be our life. Islam should be our priority. Everything should revolve around our deen, not the other way around. At the moment, our deen revolves around our life. Our life should revolve around our deen. And we should plan our life accordingly. When you're making a journey, when you're traveling abroad, when you're going in London, you're going to Scotland, you plan it in such a way that, where am I going to read my Salatul Zuhr? Where am I going to read my Salatul Asr? Where am I going to read my Salatul Maghrib? Will I be able to get this? If not, what do I have to do? And again, we just make excuses. Oh, well, I was traveling, so I don't have to read my namaz. It's still farz upon you. You can't make these excuses and say, oh, it's not farz. It is still farz upon you, whatever the condition is. Yes, there are some leniencies for a traveler, but it's still farz upon you to read your namaz. So we can't make these excuses, and we continue to make these excuses. Sallu ala al-Habib. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ramatullah Ta'ala, he was someone that really loved his salah. And you do meet people that they live their life according to the salah, that they're really concerned that I've read my namaz, now when's the next one? When's the next namaz? And they're thinking, okay, from now till then, I can get this done. And they make sure that they get that done so they can read the namaz. They don't want to miss the namaz. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was one of those people. that he never missed his namaz. And he said that if a person who deliberately missed one salah becomes rightful of staying in the hellfire for 1,000 years unless he repents and offers its qaza. So, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on my channel, if you have missed your salah, then repent. That's the first thing that we need to do. Repent. And there's conditions of repentance. You cannot just say, Ya Allah, forgive me, and think that's it. No, you need to, first of all, admit that you've done this. Secondly, you need to be ashamed of it. And this is not just salah, any sin, whatever the sin is. You need to be ashamed of that sin. And thirdly, you need to make a sincere intention never to commit that sin again. So, Ya Allah, if I miss my salah, do repent. But then you think to yourself, you know what? Salatul Maghrib's coming up. I'm not going to read it, right? But Ya Allah, forgive me for Asr. And yet you know you're not going to read Salatul Maghrib. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. Yes, we are weak. Ya Allah, I've missed my Salatul Asr. Please forgive me. And inshallah, I'll make sure from now on I'll never miss my salah. But then there's another condition as well. That whatever salah you missed, you have to make up for as well. You cannot just do tawbah. You have to miss up for that salah. And the example is, for example, if you said to me, here, brother, it's £50, give it me on Friday. And on Friday, I don't give you the £50. I said, oh, I'm sorry, brother. I'm really, really, really sorry. Please forgive me. And you say, okay, fair enough. When are you going to give it me? You're not going to say, okay, you're not giving me, it doesn't matter. Forget about it. You still, okay, you owe me £50. Give it me tomorrow. Give me the day after. You're still going to want that money. In the same way, our ibadat, our salah, our fasting, if we have missed them, we have to make them up. So what we should all do, we should all make a list of those namazes that we have missed and start to make them up. Make the intention of making the namazes up. Because as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat has said that for 1,000 years, you will be in the hellfire for the namaz that you missed. 1,000 years. Can you imagine? Can you even contemplate the pain that you're suffering that you will have? But we need to do this. A person, he was passing through the jungle and Shaitan started following him. Shaitan started to follow this person. Now that person, he did not offer a single salah. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And when night fell, Shaitan started running away. The person looked at him and said, why are you running away? He knew he was Shaitan. He said, why are you running away? And he says, I only refused to do sajda to Sayyidina Hazrat Adam al-Islam once. Only once in my entire life. And I became the accursed Shaitan. You have missed all 5 salah. I fear being trapped in the same punishment that may descend upon you. Shaitan runs away from that person who misses salah. Because he's afraid of the punishment that that person will face. But we're not bothered. We don't care. You know, they say, people say in Urdu, dekha jayega, we'll see what happens. You will see what happens. We will all see what happens. And I pray to Allah that before that day comes, we repent and make a change in our lives. Amen. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not associate partners with Allah azza wa jal, even if you are torn into pieces and burnt. Do not leave the obligatory salah deliberately, as the one who misses it deliberately has protection lifted for him. Never drink alcohol, as it is the root of all evil. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever abandons salah will meet Allah in a state that he will enact his wrath upon him. The anger, the wrath of Allah azza wa jalla will fall upon you if you miss your salah. In another hadith, whoever abandons salah decreased his household and his wealth. Nowadays we're worrying, why is all this? Why am I having all these problems? Why am I having my problem with my wife? Why am I having a problem with my kids? Why am I facing all these problems? Again, it is you. Look at yourself in the mirror. Don't look at just your partner and think it's your fault that I'm having your problems. Don't just look at your kids and think it's your fault that I'm having your problems. Don't look at your family and think it's because of you I'm having the problems. In the majority of the cases, look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and you'll see the person that is causing your problems. We are the problem. We are the ones that are causing these problems for ourselves. And we need to face up to this and realize. Instead of trying to blame other people for our weaknesses, instead of trying to blame other people for our problems, we are the problem. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I leave you 2 things. Follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way. And in the Quran, we're ordered to read our namaz. In the Quran, we're ordered to fast in the month of Ramadan. And then we wonder why we're astray. We wonder why we're facing all these problems. The Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Nimi Rahmatullah says that whoever misses salah, does not remain under the protection of Allah, with the blessings of Salah, a person remains protected from calamities. In this world, saved from a bad death, succeeds in the test of the grave, and attains refuge from the problems on the day of judgment. The blessings of Salah cause him to remain in the protection of Allah. Why am I not getting these blessings? Everybody in the streets getting the £1,000 check, I'm not getting it. We need to ask ourselves, these are the blessings that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised us. Allah azza wa jalla has promised us. So why are we doubting it? Why are we ignoring it? Is our faith so weak that we're ignoring the commands of Allah, astaghfirullah? Is our faith so weak that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling us about Salah, we're ignoring him? We all claim we love. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love you. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we follow you. What kind of following is this? You know, if a son says to his mother, I love you, I love you, I love you. He puts a poster up on his car, I love you, I love my mother. He tells the whole world, I love my mother. On his status on social media, he says, I love my mother. And one day his mother says, Beta, can you go to the shop for me? No, mom, I'm busy. Beta, can you take the rubbish out? No, mom, I'm busy. Beta, can you do this? No. Beta, don't go there. Why? I'll do what I want to do. He's telling the world he loves his mother, but he's not listening to his mother. What would you say about that person? Does he love his mother? No. We say we love, but do we follow? A pious person was asked, but how do you know that you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the reply he got was, when you obey his orders, when you follow his sunnah, when you love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him, then you can say you're a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Love is not just about raising a flag and walking down the street once in a year. Love is not just about during the month of Milad having gatherings at your home. Love is not just about coming to the Friday daily prayers or the Eid prayers twice a year. Love is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If you claim to love someone in your family, it's not part-time. But again, in the same way that our deen has become our hobby, we are part-time lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love him when it suits us. We love him on certain days. We show that love on them certain days. The rest of the year, we forget about him. That's not love. That's not love. The Prophet of Allah says in the Quran, guard all your salahs, and particularly the middle salah, and stand with devotion of Allah. The importance of salah can also be judged by the fact that Sayyidina Ibrahim والسلام, supplicated that may he and his offering continue, his offspring continue to offer salah. He used to do dua that, Ya Allah, I pray that my children, my offspring from now to the day of judgment, they continue to offer salah. Nowadays we don't even pray that, Ya Allah, give me the tawfiq to read our salah. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions this. He says, O Lord, make me the one who keeps salah established and also to summon my offspring. O our Lord, answer my supplication. Even on the day of judgment, viewers on the channel and brothers here, the first question that you will be asked, the first question that you will be asked will be about your salah. The first question you will be asked. It is a blessed hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, a servant shall firstly be questioned about his salah. Under this hadith, Alama Abdul Rauf Munawi Rahmatullah Ta'ala adds, undoubtedly salah is a symbol of faith and essence of worship. A person came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked about the most superior action. He asked, what is the most superior action in the deen? He asked the question three times, and three times the reply was, salah is the most superior deed. Why are we missing our salah? Why are we missing our salah? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, and those who keep salah established and give zakat and believe in Allah Azza wa Jal on the last day, we shall soon give them a great reward. So the question is, why am I not rewarded? Because I'm not fasting. Why am I not rewarded? Because I'm not reading my namaz. Why am I facing all these problems? Because of this. Your salah is a cure to all your problems. Your salah is a prevention to all your problems. You know the beauty of the deen of Islam? One of the things that I've realized, the beauty of the deen of Islam, is that people talk about cures. How can I get rid of this illness? How can I get rid of this problem? Our deen prevents them illnesses. Our deen prevents them illnesses. People will say to you, oh, if you drink one glass of alcohol, it's okay. Our deen says, no alcohol. People will say, oh, if you're going to have drugs, don't share needles. Our deen says, no drugs. People will say, if you're going to have a relationship outside of marriage, then take protection. Our says, no. It prevents the problem from happening in the first place. And salah is one of those things that if you perform the salah, then these problems that we are all facing, maybe, Maybe because we are regretting our salah. And even in our salah, what does our salah become? In our salah, we're like a pecking bird, we're just pecking the ground as quick as possible. We want to get out of the masjid as soon as possible. We read our namaz just quickly, just to get it over and done with. In some cases, those are the lucky ones. Because at least they're reading the salah. What about the rest of us that aren't? Again, we need to ask this question. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 3 and 4, those who keep salah established and spend some in our path from what we have provided for them, only these are true Muslims, for them are ranks with the Lord and His forgiveness and honorable sustenance. In Surah Maida, verse number 12, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, indeed, I am with you. Undoubtedly, if you keep salah established and pay your zakat and believe in my messages and respect them and lend Allah Azza wa Jalla a good loan, so I will surely remove your sins and I will surely admit you to Karen's paradise beneath which rivers flow. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, if anyone amongst you has a stream in the courtyard and bathes in it 5 times a day, if you have a shower 5 times a day, will there be any dirt on your body? No. It's impossible to have dirt on your body if you have a shower 5 times a day. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, salah washes away your sins in the same way that water washes away your dirt. If you were to have a shower 5 times a day, there'd be no dirt on your body. If you pray 5 times a day, it'll wash away your sins. Salah is an atonement for your previous sins and gets your sins forgiven. Sayyidina Usman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala, the muezzin arrived and Sayyidina Usman Ghani, radiallahu ta'ala, asked for water. And he performed wuzu and he said that, I saw the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perform wuzu in this way. I also heard him saying, the one who performs wuzu the way I have and then offers Zuhr Salah, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives his sins. I had the sins that were committed between Fajr and Zuhr. When he offers As-Salah, Allah forgives the sins between Zuhr and Asr. When he offers Maghrib Salah, Allah forgives the sins between Asr and Maghrib. And when he offers Isha Salah, forgives the sins between Maghrib and Isha. And when he offers the Fajr Salah, the sins are forgiven between Isha and Fajr. Who doesn't want to get the sins forgiven? The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has also reported to have said, there is indeed a cure in Salah. A cure for your illness in Salah. And nowadays, as soon as we get a bit of a cold, oh, I've got a headache, I can't read my namaz. Oh, I've got a runny nose, I can't read my namaz. Oh, my foot's hurting, I can't read my namaz. And we make all these excuses not to read our namaz. In your salah is your cure for your illness, if only you realize. We're also told that our salah is our risk. Our sustenance is blessed in the... Today, we're facing difficulties. People around the world are saying that the cost of living has increased. But you see those people, that even when the cost of living is increased, they're still happy. And if you to look at those people, it'll be those people that, without doubt, were happy with whatever Allah has given them. And you look at their lives and you will see that these people, they read the namaz 5 times a day. We need to have this thought in our life that Allah is the one that provides. But I've got to do my bit. And my bit is to read my namaz 5 times a day. I need to read my namaz 5 times a day. We are told that offering the namaz with jamaat is 27 times more sawab than reading it at home. Again, I've mentioned this example before many, many times. I'll mention it again just for the people here and the viewers on the channel. That if I was to give you a job, £10 an hour, you'd say, well, okay, it's not bad. It's not brilliant, but it's okay. But if I say to you, look, come to my house and I'll pay you £270 an hour. You're going to say, where's your house, brother? I said, well, it's a couple of miles away. Oh, I'll come, no problem. It might be raining, no problem. The heater, there's no heating there, there's no electricity there. The geyser doesn't work, it's very, very cold in my house. No problem, I'll still come for £270 an hour. But when we're told it's 27 times more sawab if we come here, oh, the heater's not working. Oh, it's raining outside. Oh, it's too far away. Why don't they build a masjid in front of my house? Yeah, I can't go all the way over there. We make all sorts of excuses. Whoever performed wuzu, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever performed wuzu properly, then left for the salah, the obligatory salah, and offered it with the imam, his sins will be forgiven. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that when a person offers salah in congregation and he implores Allah Azza wa Jalla for his need, Allah does not like for him to return before his needs are fulfilled. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, we can continue. There are many, many ayats of the Quran. There are many, many sayings of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are whole books that have been written about our pious predecessors of what they said about the salah. The question is, why am I not reading my salah? And that is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Why am I missing my salah? What am I doing wrong? Why am I not amongst those fortunate ones? And the first thing that we need to realize is that they are the fortunate ones. If you remember right at the beginning, the first thing I said to all of you is that we are the fortunate ones that we are here today. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity to come to His house. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity to listen to the talawat, listen to the naad, listen to the bayan, inshallah take part in the zikr. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity to inshallah take part in the dua and at the end the salat of salam. This is a blessing. You are the lucky ones. And for every one person that is here today, there's probably 100, 200 people that are not here today. So you're one in 100, you're one in 200, you're one in 500. So you are lucky. So we need to do dua, Ya Allah, continuously make me lucky. Make me amongst those lucky ones, those fortunate ones that Allah blesses them with an opportunity to come to your house. I don't want to be amongst those people that are not fortunate. I don't want to be amongst those that Allah doesn't open the door to them. You know, when you have guests at home, there's three types of guests. The first guest is the person that you don't really want him to come to your house. You don't want him to come to your house. And so you make excuses, I'm busy, don't come. Right? And if he does come, you want him out of the house as soon as possible. You know, you get these certain people that you don't really want them to come to your house. You don't like them, so you don't want them to come to your house. Then you get the second type of guest that you say, okay, come to my house, fair enough, but you don't want them staying there long. Tea girl, you've had a cup of tea, you've had a biscuit, you know, I need to get to work now. Can you get out, please? And you want them to leave. Tea girl, you let them come. You don't mind them coming to your house. You let them come to your house, but you don't want them sitting there too long. Then you get the third type of guest. And that third type of guest is when he comes to your house, you don't want him to leave. You don't want him to leave. Sit down a little bit longer. You just had tea. I'll go and get some biscuits. We've got some fruit. I've not had juice. You've not had this. We're just making some sweet for you. Just stay still and you'll make all the, you try and make that person stay as long as possible. Three types of guests. In the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, what type of guest are we? Out of them three types of guests, in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, what type of guest are we? Are we that guest that we don't want him to come? Are we that guest that when we come here, we want to leave as soon as possible? Or are we that guest that when we come here, we stay as long as possible? What type of guest of the house of Allah Azza wa Jal are we? Again, why? You know, you have them three types of guests. That person that you don't want to come to your house, there's a reason. There's a reason you don't want him to come to your house. That person that comes to your house and you want to get rid of him soon, there's a reason. That person that comes to your house and you want him to stay there for a long time, there's a reason. So look at ourselves. What is the reason that I cannot go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla on a daily basis, five times a day? Why is it that when I come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I come in and I want to get out as soon as possible? Or am I amongst those people that when I come to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I sit there? And I'm not looking at my watch. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not caring about the world and what's happening out there. I'm comfortable in the house of Allah. What type of guest are we in the house of Allah? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madi Channel, we all know that namaz is farz upon us. But what maybe we don't know is we do not know the rulings of namaz as well. Maybe we make mistakes in our namaz as well. Yes, a lot of people here, there's children here today, but there are people here that are in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s. And when you were a child at the madrasa, you were taught how to read your salah. But can you guarantee that you're reading your salah properly still? Do we know if we are reading our salah properly? Have you ever had it checked? And you think, why do I need to get it checked? I learned it. I don't need to get it checked. You service your car every 6 months. You service your car every 10,000 miles. Yeah? Why? You bought a brand new car from the showroom, £100,000. Why are you getting it serviced? You'll service your car, but you'll not service your salah. You'll service your car, but you won't service your Quran reading. You'll service your car, but you won't service your iman. So we need to get it checked on a regular basis. You know, we don't want it to be amongst those people that you're reading your salah, but you're not reading it properly. There was a Madri kafla went to a place in Balochistan, and they went into a masjid, and they had a study circle in the corner. And in the study circle, they were teaching the faraiz of ghusl. Performing ghusl when it is farz upon you and what you have to do when you perform ghusl. And they were teaching this. And there was a person not far away and he started to cry. This old person, he was in his 60s, he started crying. And the young Mubalik, they got up and went to the old person and said, Azul, what have we done? Have we done anything wrong? Is everything okay? You okay? Have we upset you? Have we caused any problems for you? And he said, no, beta. I've just realized by listening to you, For the last 60 years of my life, I've been reading my namaz in a state of impurity. For the last 60 years of my life, I've been reading the Quran in a state of impurity because he was never performing the ghusl properly. I pray to Allah that it doesn't happen to us, that we're reading our namaz and we not perform the ghusl properly. I pray that it doesn't happen to us that we're reading our namaz and we will not perform the wuzu properly. I pray to Allah that it doesn't happen to us that we're reading our namaz and it's not performed properly and it's not accepted. So you're doing the action, you're doing those things, but it's not accepted. So my humble request to everybody here and all the viewers on my channel, please get your namaz checked. Get your wuzu checked. Sit down, attend the Madani Qaflas, travel in the way of Allah. And when you travel with these people, they will teach you. And you may think, well, I've listened to it before. Yeah? I went on a Qafla 3 months ago, they taught me about wuzu, they're teaching me again. Doesn't matter. In the same way that you get your car serviced every 3 months, get it checked again and again and again. Doesn't matter how many times it gets checked. Doesn't matter how many times you learn the wuzu. Doesn't matter how many times you learn about the rulings of ghusl. Doesn't matter how many times you read it. Every time it's there to tune your iman, to tune your namaz, to tune your wuzu, to tune all these things. So you'll have peace of mind then. That when I perform my namaz, I'm performing it properly. That I know I'm in a state of purity. That peace of mind again is enough. How many of us have that peace of mind inside us? How many of us can honestly say that my ghusl is perfect, my wuzu is perfect, my namaz is perfect, my talawat is perfect? If you can, then marhaba. If you can't, then Dawat Islami is here. We have these Madrasat al-Madina Balighan classes in which you can go and learn to read the Quran. We have these Madani Halkas in which you can learn study circles. Inshallah, after the Ijtima, there'll be some study circles and we'll be learning things. Dawat Islami is here to help you. But there's a saying in English, you can take a horse to water, but you cannot make the horse drink. You know, there's a saying in English, you can take the horse to the water, but you cannot force the horse to drink water. We can have these study circles here, we can have these halki here, we can have these kaflas here, we can have these ishtama here, but we can't force you. I cannot force you to sit in those study circles. I cannot force you to come to these kaflas. I cannot force you to come to ishtamas. You have to come forward and acquire the knowledge of the deen. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the tawfiq to think about what I said, to act upon what I said, and to pass this message on to others. Finally, before I finish, brothers, please make a firm intention. No matter what has happened in our life, this is between you and your Rabb. Nobody tell me. I don't want anybody coming to me afterwards and say, oh, brother, I missed my namaz for the last 6 months. Yeah? Because if you have committed a sin, remember this, if you have committed a sin, then you should never expose that. Don't tempt people with your sin. Because that in itself is a sin. If you know somebody has committed a sin, don't tell anybody about that sin, because that in as well is a sin. So if you missed your salah, make a record of them. In the book, there's a book that Amir al-Sunnah has written, and in that book he tells us how we can make up our salah that we've missed easily. Make an intention today that, Ya Allah, whatever salah I have missed, I will make up for them. Ya Allah, from today, I'm not going to miss my salah. Ya Allah, from today, I'm going to read my salah with Jamaat. Make this firm intention. Make this firm intention and stick by this. Ameen bi jahin nabi lameen. O Mubalik,
for you is my prayer. O Mubalik.